Cannabis Business Minds, we train and mentor professionals, entrepreneurs, and aspiring entrepreneurs on how to confidently find their place in the legal cannabis and hemp industries. Come on and join us at CannabisBusinessMinds.com. On this episode of Cannabis Business Minds, we are going to be talking with another finance expert, entrepreneur as well, Richard Bernard, about cannabis valuations, about cannabis investing, and about his journey about getting into the cannabis industry. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of Cannabis Business Minds. Tell me, so like, what are you working in? Because I know we connected a long time ago. Way back whenever, about the work that you're doing. Give me the lowdown and just like, what is your full story about before you got into cannabis and then getting into cannabis?
Yeah. So right now I work in business valuation. So we value, you know, cannabis companies and the non-cannabis companies for, you know, tax and financial reporting. But so that's what I do now. And, you know, our company, the reason why I joined, Houlihan Capital was because of, they were kind of like the first to value cannabis companies and get into the space. Whereas a lot of companies, they weren't touching it. You know, they didn't want to be involved. It's illegal. So that's kind of how they got me. But, my entryway into cannabis is kind of funny. Like for, you know, when I started here, cannabis in Chicago, like Illinois had just become legal. I basically like dipped and dodged cannabis my whole life, like high school and college. I hadn't really tried it. You know, high school was, you know, my mom's going to catch me this, you know, and like, you know, I don't want to deal with my mom, you know, cause it's scary. So like, you know, and we had the whole, you know, this is the devil's lettuce. It's evil, all that stuff. So that was ingrained in us. And then college, my main reason was just because I didn't want to, like, it felt weird, like having it when I knew, like, people were being arrested for it. And like, just that was a little uncomfortable for me. It didn't feel like I could do it and be happy and comfortable knowing all this other stuff about what's going on. But then when it became legal here, then I started doing my research on like the medicinal aspects of cannabis and like the business side of it too. You know, like how do you start a cannabis business, all that stuff. So that's kind of how I got into it. And then from there, like trying it, using it, then that's really when I saw like the medical effects. Cause I feel like one of the things that I always talk about, and like, it's like, I feel like there's two aspects of cannabis, the medicinal aspects and the recreational. And I feel like a lot of times the conversations, they get mixed up to the detriment of the plant. I feel like, because, you know, you can, you know, I've got friends who've tried it for the first time, but it's like, oh, I got too high. I had this bad experience. But I feel like from my experience personally, when I approached it from a medicinal aspect first, then I was really able to kind of learn about it, then see how I can use it recreationally. And, you know, so like, that's actually one of my, like, I'm trying to figure out how I can turn that into a real passion project, but that's kind of where my head is at now. Like, you know, I think I've been blessed to kind of work with a lot of cannabis companies on like the business side, the valuation front, and kind of learn about that. But what I think long term, I think that's where my passion is kind of like, how do we teach about the plant versus, you know, there's so much out there. And this,
I think there's so much. And then, but also we're at the very beginning, right? And it's interesting when you're in the business side, cause you really have this like different lens than the consumer side. And for, you know, you just think about, okay, Illinois, Chicago, let's own it in Chicago, even in a certain neighborhood, whatever, like a lot of people probably don't know the benefits still of cannabis. But we think they do because we're just in the cannabis industry. And I really like that approach of like leaning in first with the medical. Do you actually need help with? Because then it allows you to kind of, because everything in itself is like, I used to drink wine because I was stressed out. Like I'm very aware of that. And that's what, I've used cannabis to kind of substitute that. But really the root thing was, I'm stressed. I have anxiety. Exactly. Why the hell do I have that? Let's figure that out. And when you can address it that way and address like the medical components and like treatment, it's much more holistic to actually feel like, how to help yourself.
And it's really, I feel like it's helped me in other areas too. Cause you know, like then all of a sudden you kind of, it goes from being a, oh, I have to go to so many other people for my medical advice. Whereas I agree, like I like doctors. We should have doctors. Mm-hmm. But with some stuff, so like my personal experience, so I had really bad acid reflux. Like my grandpa has it, my whole family, mm-hmm. acid reflux is like, we all talk about it. And, so like I was like, I'd been prescribed like 3 different pills for acid reflux, like in during that year, right after the pandemic. And like mm-hmm. the last thing I tried, like my heartbeat was off. Like I was sweating, you know, like I would be working and all of a sudden I would just feel like my heart like super fast. Like, oh, this sucks. And then I started looking into like how cannabis affects your, like, it's like the stomach is like your second brain, you know, and like how the endocannabinoids work in your stomach and all that. So then, you know, just learning about it, it's like, well, let me just try it. You know, who cares? Like, I'm just going to try. So I started taking like tablets and oils. And like, since then, like I tell everybody it cured my acid reflux.
Okay. But this is like mind blowing. Like my mind was like, okay, got to get somebody on the podcast that can talk to us a lot more about the cannabis and the stomach health. I had no idea.
Yeah. Oh, it's very interesting.
Oh, because I listened to this fascinating podcast, Diary of a CEO. Do you ever listen to that podcast?
Yeah. I think I've listened to that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was this one about gut health, all about mm-hmm. just like, and this doctor who had done tons of research to basically say like our whole idea about weight loss and just nutrition is completely backwards. Like calories in, calories out, that doesn't matter. Actually working out, that doesn't matter. It's all about damn gut health. And like was like, they did studies about twins and like the only, cause like genetic, like identical twins. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your genetics mm-hmm. should be the same. But what they found out is like, oh, one twin would be depressed. One twin wouldn't be. Okay. Well, what was it? It was actually because of the health of the gut. Yeah, and then so that is based when you were eating, your environment, all these external factors. Dude, that is mind blowing. I had no idea that cannabis can also help with the gut.
Yeah, it's really, there's it's actually holding up my laptop. I have this book. Okay. It's like a doctor book, but, they talk about, it's, the handbook of cannabis for clinicians, but I bought it. They use a lot of medical jargon.
Yeah.
But, the one thing I like about it is it kind of tackles like each, like a medical concern, like, you know, anxiety or like stomach problems. And it talks about how cannabis will, like the endocannabinoids and how different, like, you know, CBD versus CBC, and all that, how that affects specific parts of the body. And like, it's just like, it's opened my eyes a lot. And like, I think, I, you know, like people think I'm crazy, but like, it's, I don't think it's like a cure all absolutely not. No. But I think just, in and of itself, giving people a little bit more control over the health, like that, I don't think like that just in and of itself is a huge positive just for like people's well-being for sure.
Oh my God, it totally is. Well, I think the mind-blowing thing that I learned about being in the industry was that like we all have, you know, our respiratory system, our nervous system, all the other systems, but the endocannabinoid system is the one that regulates them all and provides homeostasis. Yep, and then you're like, wow. And then, and then you think about, okay, well, doctors didn't even really learn about this system. They discovered it in the 90s. And you're like, what? Exactly. My body, like, wait, you've been telling me to do all these things. And you think about all the things that are harming your, you know, endocannabinoid system and that cannabis along with other, you know, other plants and other things can also just improve it. It's just, so fascinating. When you first kind of got into it, then was it first like, oh, I'm working for this company. That's interesting. And now let me dive into the plant.
Yeah, it that's how it, you know, I was interested in it, but then like working with these companies who, you know, this is what they do. And like hearing, you know, the CEOs talk, because a lot of the one thing I like too is, you know, I've been able to work with like, you know, just one, like, it's like a group of people. They own one license and this is like their passion. You know, this is what they want to do. They want to open up a dispensary, a cultivation facility, and like just listening to their stories and like, oh man, I gotta, you know, like there's no way I can like hear this and not do more after this, you know?
Yeah. What have you seen, I guess, from like the business side? Like a lot of the listeners are entrepreneurs and a lot, because you know how the industry works, probably need to get some capital. And so the idea of financial projections, okay, maybe somebody that people, I think, understand that looking at your kind of time span for like 3 years, but like the concept of valuation, and I'm hoping you can actually shed some expertise here. Like what is evaluation for those people that don't understand? And why is it important?
So, you know, it really, to the start is, you know, you want to know how much is your business worth? And, you know, like at certain points in time, I think it's very important. And the one thing that we've seen, so we'll do valuations for, you know, if people want to get capital, but they're just not sure, you know, oh, you know, we have this kind of offer. Is this fair or reasonable? So we'll do that type of stuff. And then also we'll value, you know, obviously, you know, you got to pay your taxes. You know, that's also very important. And what it's been interesting because I feel like when I first started in 2020, the valuations were very high. So, you know, you know, we were seeing, you know, because we also work with acquisitions. So doing the purchase price accounting for those, and we'll have to value the company that gets acquired. Mm-hmm. And we were seeing, you know, extremely high valuations for a lot of these companies. And like, you know, the company would have one license and, wow. You know, and it's kind of come, it's like a cycle. You know, we saw the top, and then in, you know, basically 3 years now, we're at this kind of depressed state where people are talking about, you know, cannabis winter, and everybody's worried about what's going on and happening to come. I mean, years with the recessions, but you know, the valuation itself, it's a key piece in the financial projections. That's very important. And then also, you know, thinking about what's the story behind the projection. So that's one thing that we talk to a lot of our clients about is, you know, it's okay to have numbers because you need numbers, and like numbers make sense, but being able to talk to investors, being able to talk to, you know, just raising capital to talk about the projections, and then what's the story? How are you going to get from A to B and things like that? So that's also another area within the valuation where it's, you know, it's so important. Yeah,
absolutely. For when you saw that valuations were so high, is it because they were using like an exit multiple to calculate the valuation of like 10 or something that would be related to tech instead of maybe a more comparable industry, or what was the reason it was so high?
Yeah, so at that time there was a lot of competition for acquisition. So, you know, we would, you know, we were talking to the teams that, you know, the deal teams, like, yeah, this was a tense process, you know, the bidding, you know, like they had it was either, you know, one or two rounds, they had to raise the price of what they were offering. And a lot of what they were doing was just looking at transactions that were taking place and applying a multiple and using that multiple.
Yeah.
And, you know, what that kind of leads is, you know, as multiples are going up, just higher and higher multiples are being applied.
Exactly.
So it just, where does it end? You know, and that,
Yes, that's kind of like, because so for me, I think there's like what, three different ways, like you can do a valuation, like you can look at your projected income and then you like the discounted cash flow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are the other two, and which is the most common that you are seeing in the industry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've got, you know, the income approach, and then you can use, you know, a market kind of look at publicly traded cannabis companies in there. Mm-hmm. Then really you have to focus on, you know, is this more cultivation? Are they operating dispensaries? Because then you see a lot of difference in the multiples paid there. And then we'll look at, you know, just private transactions. You know, we've got databases and things like that to look at. What are some private transactions that have taken place? And then also, you know, you can look at for the entire company, or then also we've got some database for just the licenses where people have just bought the licenses. But we'll typically use all three if we can. But now, especially the income approach is basically, you know, you need it to corroborate whatever value you get. And then also from there, you can do scenario analysis, which is also another big thing now, especially because, you know, we don't know. I think it's actually kind of funny, the tax part of it, where when I first started, a lot of the models were assuming that, you know, the Section 280E would apply, you know, like couple of years that they wouldn't have to pay, like, you know, and then now with all this stuff going on, it's like, you know, we're not going to see any movement on tax for a while. So now we're actually seeing this, either it's never going to happen, or they don't even model any scenarios. It's as is right now. And, you know, whatever happens. Yeah. It's the conversation about that have just gone completely the other direction too, which is also interesting.
That's so interesting. Yeah. I mean, 280E, I was just talking to a regulator about this like yesterday. It's like, because I think the federal landscape and what will happen in Washington is going to take some time. It's like, there has to be a different approach, because legal cannabis businesses are cannabis businesses. And I think it's like, I don't know. It just feels like there needs to be a bigger effort to help these businesses, because it's just like, why could you, like, you literally can't have any business deductions besides your cost of goods sold. Like, you can't run a business that way, especially when you can't get capital. So it's like, I mean, have you seen, because I know you're much more like involved in it, like you're working with cannabis businesses, you're with a firm. Mm-hmm. Are there initiatives with people like that are finance professionals to lobby, is not the correct word, but to have these discussions with the IRS or like to push, like, do you know, is there anything happening?
You know, it's funny because I think, so there's kind of two ways that I look at it. So I'm part of a couple of organizations within Canada Cannabis, and they heavily are pushing, you know, they'll do the lobbying, the contacting senators and all that stuff and writing articles about tax. Like that is, you know, you see like certain areas where that is the focus. Yeah. But then on the other side, when talking to like the actual businesses and investors, I think they're kind of operating from my experience, just it is what it is. And we're going to have to make do with what it is, unfortunately. Yeah. So that's been, it's kind of odd too, but I think, because I think it's kind of to the detriment of a lot of these companies, because a lot of times, you know, if it wasn't for the tax piece of it, these would be profitable companies, you know, doing very well for the most part. And, but I'm not sure what's going to happen, but the sentiment is not very great.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. So just for anybody that's listening, that is a cannabis operator, make sure that you're just accounting, that you're looking at your cash flow, that you're like putting that money away for 280E. And so you really literally have to be so strategic with your cost. I mean, it's really to be strategic with your cost and your cash flow, like, and have different revenue streams. I think that's also a big one. Thanks so much for listening to this week's show. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you enjoyed this, leave us a 5-star review. Make sure that you share this episode on your social media and tag us in the Instagram stories. You can find us wherever you go on social media. Just look up Cannabis Business Minds. Have an idea for the show or something that you want to talk about? Shoot us an email at podcast@cannabisbusinessminds.com.